This morning's message, for those that need to go to the nursery, go ahead. This morning's message, I have a question. Do we all worship the same God? Or does it even matter? For many Christians, I don't think it apparently matters. For others, I think it's extremely important, for it should be important to us. I want to show you this article, and I got it out of the newspaper. I want you to, or a clipping of the newspaper. I want you to listen to this. This is someone advertising themselves in the paper. Having successfully completed a 10-year sentence in incident-free for importing 75 tons of marijuana into the United States, I am now seeking a legal and legitimate means to support myself and my family. Business experience. Owned and operated a successful fishing business, multi-vessel, one airplane, one island, and process facility. Simultaneously owned and operated a fleet of tractor-trailer trucks conducting business in the western United States. During this time, I also co-owned and participated in the executive-level management of 120 people worldwide in the successful pot-smuggling venture with venues in excess of $100 million annually. I took responsibility for my own actions and received a 10-year sentence in the United States while others walked free for their cooperation. Attributes. I am an expert in all levels of security. Duh. I have extensive computer skills, am reasonable, outgoing, well-educated, reliable, clean, and sober. I've spoken in schools to thousands of kids and parent groups over the past 10 years on the consequences of choice and received public recognition from the RCMP for community service. I am well-traveled and speak English, French, and Spanish. References available from friends, family, and the U.S. District Attorney. How many of you would hire that person if you had a business? I guess it might depend on which business it was. If you were smuggling marijuana, you would want to get him on your side. But I want you to understand that it does matter who we deal with, and it does matter who our God is. I believe by the end of the service, I'm going to share some things with you that will, I think, bolster your conviction and bolster your view of God and hopefully give you a more solid foundation. One of the things I see in a lot of Christians is they waffle. And the reason they waffle and their commitment goes and comes is because I don't think their foundation is solid. 70% of all students who have a commitment to Christ and went to church when they were children, when they leave and go to college, 70% walk away from their faith because they are confronted with views that are different than their faith. Where do you stand? I want this morning for us to look at, do we worship the same God, and is it important? Because also, when we talk with people and we say, do you know Jesus? Or do you, 80% are going to say, yeah, I know Jesus. But which Jesus and which God are they following? I think it's important. We're going to look at that this morning. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 says this. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. Even in Paul's day, many were leaving the faith. Many were worshiping other Jesuses. Many were worshiping other gods. I'd like for us all, I don't have it up here, because I think most of us know it. If you don't know it, learn it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We say that, and that is said in so many churches, and it is even written on poster board in the end zones at football games and at basketball games, because all you got to do is watch one, and when they pan the audience, somebody will write it up there. But do we understand what that means? And the reason is because I believe that even this is misunderstood, and many people believe a lot of different things. And when you take what God meant and what Jesus brought, and you make it another gospel, you've perverted it. And you're worshiping another God. Let me explain why. It says in there that he gave his only begotten Son. There are some, and I heard a couple of people witnessing, and they were witnessing to Jehovah's Witness, and they do not believe that Jesus was, quote unquote, the Son of God, as we believe he's the Son of God. He was a created being, just as everybody else is a created being. They took out the only Son of God. They took out the only. They also changed some other things in their New World Bible translation. They claim they have the same Bible. Well, not really, because they've changed it around. They're following a different Jesus. If they're following a different Jesus, they're following a different God. And I will explain that in a minute. But when it says his only begotten Son, I struggled with this for a while. Anybody ever struggled with Jesus, the Son of God, and exactly what that meant? Here it says the only Son of God. Here it says the only begotten Son of God. Only. Only. Okay. What does that mean? Let me explain to you. First of all, if you as a woman here this morning have had a child, you have begotten that child, right? That's what the word means. You heard it. Did you create that child? You didn't create the child. You birthed the child. You mothered the child. The child grew up in your womb. You did not create it. Okay? When Jesus said, my only begotten Son, that was a term which goes in our scripture. If you study the Greek, it means birthed one. In essence, Jesus was the flesh of God. Was the Spirit of God, the presence of God. He birthed. How many of you have children? Raise your hand, your grandchildren, raise your hand, okay. You know, when you look at that child, you say, that's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, don't you? Sometimes. I understand. Yeah, I've been there too. But what it means is this. That child took on my flesh. The reason I went yesterday and marched for life was because I believe that every child has a right to be born. Every child has a right to live. And so I follow for life. But I want you to understand this. All of those children are not them. That once a baby is born, a few days after that baby is conceived, it takes on a totally different genetic makeup. It's not the same genetic makeup as the mom. You, from the day that child is conceived, nearly at the day, within a few hours, that child becomes an individual, even though it is a fetus. Okay? as a different individual, it is a person. And it is a person, though, that has the flesh and the bones of the mother. Okay? And the father some. We throw a little bit in there. But this is what it's talking about. When he says, that son was born, he was begotten of me. He was of me. That's what made him the only son of God. So when people say, yeah, Jesus was the son of God, he was sons just like we're sons. No, that's not what the Bible's talking about. And I'll go further into that with you in a minute. Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus, it is said of Jesus, he is the God, the one true God, Jehovah God. And I'm going to go through that a bit more with you. God brought his son up out of his own flesh and being so that he could call his name Jesus and his son. The only one to be created and birthed by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb, Jesus was the presence and the fashion and the very presence of God. Now, when it says in here, for God so loved the world, that, by the way, eliminates some people and their gods. They don't believe God is a loving God. They believe God is a wrathful, vengeful God. They don't want anything to do with God. As a matter of fact, some don't even believe, and more so than you would imagine, don't even believe God has anything to do with us. God created everything and just let it go. He's out there somewhere. That's not a loving God. That's not the God we follow. So if they say, yes, I believe in God, what God do you follow? One that you've created? What is the difference? Let me ask you. What is the difference if you create in your mind a God that fashions itself after what you want it to look like, or if you make an idol and an image of a God and you put it up here and everybody kneels down and worships that idol? What is the difference? Is that not idolatry? So people who claim they are following God, some of them are idol worshipers. They're worshiping a false god. Notice here, it says next, that whosoever believes in Jesus, it means whoever. It's not just for a certain class of people. It's not just for one. Christianity is not a European white creation. It was Jewish in the first. It was, some say it's. It has nothing to do with culture and nothing to do with race. Whosoever believeth, and it says believeth in him. And by the way, there are those that have a belief in Jesus and a belief in God. That belief means all I have to do is believe about Jesus. Well, the word here is, and I want us to think about this, the word for believe here is pistuo eis. Pistuo eis, which is a Greek word which means entrust oneself completely in personal trust and personal investment. You see, Greeks had a lot of different words for a lot of different things. A lot more words than we do, and that's why it's so hard to learn Greek. They have 5 or 6 words for belief. One of them is total, complete belief to the point you put your personal trust in it. And that's what it says. For whoever believes, puts their personal trust in, complete belief in, and follows, then you will be saved. That's what it means by believe here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I want to explain something else on that I think is very important. For a lot of Christians get that all mixed up. And that's this. If you follow and trust Jesus, then you step into the life of God through the power of the Holy Spirit that comes to you and abides with you throughout eternity and carries you into life. You are in life and you're carried into life. When you die, it's just a transition from this life to the next life. That's all it is. That's why Christians shouldn't fear death. You're going, how many of you had any transitions in your life? I just sent a note to my daughter said, My daughter's getting, my youngest daughter, she's getting ready to go to kindergarten, and she's getting ready to have a son. I said, boy, are you in for a shock this year. Big transition. When the kids leave and go off to college and leave you, big transition. Listen, if you die, it's just another transition. We're going through them all the time. And on the other side, I'll meet you over there. Why do Christians fear death? And I think most of the time Christians don't fear death. What they fear is how I get there. The process of the death, whether I suffer or not, or whatever. But I want you to understand that everlasting life is guaranteed Christians. What about all those other people? Don't they have spirits? Don't those spirits live forever? Okay, it says everlasting life. Those who do not follow Jesus have everlasting condemnation. They are judged at the final judgment. They are either going to hell or they're going to walk with God. Now, hell to me is a separation from God. Anything, any separation from God is hell. And if you don't believe that, you ever have a point in your life where you don't feel like God is there, where is God? I'm going through this, where is God? It's like a hell. Okay? And what is hell? Everlasting death. You're experiencing death completely and over, not the life in Christ Jesus. So if people struggle with that, I want you to understand there is a foundational principle there that can be understood. All of that to say to you that there are many who lose it in the very first scripture that we ought to know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. But I want you to know something. There are many who believe other things about Jesus. Which Jesus, because listen, if God sent Jesus and Jesus is the way to God, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If Jesus is the only way and the true Jesus is the only way, because the true Jesus, if we worship the true Jesus, we're worshiping the true God. Which Jesus do you worship? The Jesus of Islam? What is the Jesus of Islam? Does anybody know? He was a prophet in a long line of prophets. They acknowledge him. They will say he's a great man. They will quote Jesus. They don't believe he's a bad person. But they believe Muhammad was a greater prophet than Jesus. He was the final great prophet. So we follow Muhammad. We don't follow Jesus. Jesus was a whatever prophet. Okay, now, that there are many who believe that. Jesus was just a good man, a prophet. That's it. Do they believe the same God as I do? No, my God says Jesus is the Son of God, doesn't he? So we have over here first, the Jesus of Islam. Some believe that Jesus. So they follow a different God. All right. Well, how about, let's look over here. This is Jehovah's Witness God. They believe that God created Jesus so he'd have some help along with the angels. He created them all basically at the same time. The angels and Jesus pretty close in stature. Jesus did do the work of coming, and they do believe salvation comes through Jesus, but only because Jesus did the work God wanted him to do. So Jesus was a good creation. And you have to follow the good creation along with what the Watchtower teaches you about Jesus. See, if you don't go to the Kingdom Hall and worship like the Jehovah's Witness worship, then you're not following the true Jesus, they say. Well, the New World Bible is way off. They add things, they change things, and especially go look at John 3:16. The next one is, all right, if they're not worshiping the true Jesus, then they're not worshiping the God that I follow. The next is, how about the mystical faiths, such as Hinduism, Buddhism? Jesus, by the way, I looked up one and I listened to a guru talk about Jesus. That's interesting. Go online and hear what they've got to say about Jesus. Jesus is like the force that can be exposed in you. And the man Jesus was evil, but the person of Jesus that's in you is good. Is that the Jesus that makes us him, them worship the same God? That's a different Jesus. And then, how about the Mormons? They say that Jesus was the brother of Lucifer and was chosen to take this message of salvation to mankind. But for you to be saved, you must believe in Lucifer's brother, Jesus, and also follow all the pillars of the faith of Mormonism. Right down to the underwear you wear, by the way. So I want you to understand that this is an additional Jesus. This is a Jesus that changed. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, it calls it a perverted gospel. Yeah, they speak of Jesus. Yeah, they even refer to the Bible. They've got their own Bible, the Book of Mormon. As Islam refers to Jesus, but they have their own book. They add to, they change, they move around, pervert the gospel. The Roman Catholic Church is on the edge. Let me say something for any of you that are Roman Catholic. Because my family was all Roman, on my dad's side, we're all Roman Catholics. Many of them changed, but this is the way. The Roman Catholic Church does not believe that Jesus is in heaven. They believe he's in the Eucharist. When you take the Eucharist, when you come down and take the Lord's Supper, you're actually taking his flesh and taking his blood, and this is a revival in the church. And the only way for you to get more of Jesus is through the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper that we just participated in. Protestants believe that this is merely a form and a concept of us drawing closer to God as we refer to and think about the moments that Jesus died for us and what his price was for us. I say that to say, in some ways, the Catholic Church is on target. In other ways, the Catholic Church has moved some things around. But I want to ask you, and that's this, which Jesus do you believe in? By the way, most millennials, the majority of millennials, say that they believe Jesus was a real figure who dotted the landscape of our past as many did with the truth of God. We need to let Jesus' teachings into our hearts and we will become godly. But everyone is on their own. Their journey should not be taught by some grand story in a church with everyone of all cultures to buy into. Or it could come from an atheist agnostic view of Jesus, like Bart Ehrman at University of North Carolina, who says Jesus was made by God, as other men are made by God, and only men made Jesus God. Men made Jesus God. His book, How Jesus Became God. In essence, Paul and others made Jesus God. He wasn't God till they made him into that. And he has a lot of bad logic. Okay, it's bad logic. So which Jesus do you follow? What does the Bible say about Jesus? We've just read, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now I want to say this. It says, in the beginning, the Word is Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning. God didn't create him. Jesus was not created. He was begotten, but he was not created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Through who? Jesus, the Word.
Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light so to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. In the beginning, Jesus was. Jesus was God in the beginning. And that's where we go back to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3 and then 8 through 12. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by the Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him also he made the universe. Through him he made the universe. Through him he made the universe. Through who? Through Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus was. Jesus has never been created. Jesus always has been. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Look in verse 8. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. Now, this is speaking of his Son, Jesus. Your throne, O God. What is God calling Jesus? God. Your throne, O God. Jesus is called God. Will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. And then in verse 10, it says, In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. Jesus was from the beginning. He will be to the end. He has always been the same. He is not different. He hasn't changed. God only birthed him into a man so that we could experience Jesus, the very presence of God. That, to me, gives me a dynamic confidence that Jesus is God. This isn't something we made up. This isn't some kind of Trinity thing that we devised. This is what God taught. God taught us that Jesus was the Son of God and the very presence of God. Hebrews, we read and we see the affirmation of that. But then I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Because of this, God gave them over to 21, I'm sorry. Therefore, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God, immortal God, for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Now, I want to say this. Man has a tendency of making God look like us, look like humans, take on human characteristics, and therefore they don't understand a God
that the Bible teaches us. They only understand, or a Jesus that the Bible teaches us. They only understand what they create because they want it palatable and understandable. That's creating a God. That's creating idolatry. And people do it in their minds every day. You ask them who God is. Well, let me tell you who I think God is. Oh my, here we go. Why don't you ask God who he is? In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says this. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of your works, no religious practices, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There are those who, their belief in Jesus is to try to be like Jesus and to create religious works that will make us like Jesus. We are not called to be Jesus. We are called to follow Jesus. Do you understand the difference? It's very important. We are saved by grace through faith alone. And those who speak of a different Jesus speak of a different God. Christians are not a part of our salvation receiving grace, but they are verifying works that are in Christians. In essence, the works that we do verify who we are and solidify that. We worship Jesus, the one true God, who gave of himself for you and me in sacrifice eternally. And we worship him. We follow him. He requires faith and trust alone. All else is because we follow him and are led by the Holy Spirit. Which Jesus do you follow? This one? This one? This one? This one? The ones I've described. Listen to me. I was a youth minister. I served in a lot of different ways in the church. But I heard a different gospel. The gospel that I had heard as a child was one that I had created as I heard bits and pieces about Jesus. I sort of put it together and I came up with my own Jesus. And that's the Jesus I was committed to. 1972, I heard a different gospel. And that gospel led me to a walk with Christ. I accepted Jesus in 1972, 22 years of age, on my knees in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. And from then on, I was different. I want you to know that sometimes there are those who have been following false Jesuses. And thus, you're not following the one true God. Are you following Jesus, who is God, who we worship, who we serve, who is there for us? Are you worshiping that Jesus? Not all these others. One of the reasons I went through all of this morning was to let you know, when you talk with people and you ask them, do you know God? What do you think about Jesus? You will find out what God they worship based on what Jesus they talk about. And if they don't say, Jesus is the very presence of God, and I follow him and give my life to him, then they follow another God, and they need to be one to Jesus. You see, what I gave you this morning was the formula for presenting to people the gospel message. That's what it is. How to understand it. How to follow it. How to know in every case whether somebody is following the one true God. Because quite frankly, People are creating gods every day. Are you following Jesus? The true gospel that is written for us here. I do not make it up nor recreate it. I read it as it is. And it says, Jesus is the way, the truth,